5:04 on the sports line. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Rich Roth flying solo. Han Solo, Hope Solo. Little soccer for you. Tom Lehman back there. Little soccer reference on the eve of the World Cup. I guess we're in the middle of the World Cup. Le Bleu. Le Bleu. Vive la France. Advancing over Belgium 1-0. They advance to the World Cup finals, where they will take on either England or Croatia. I'm asking more than telling. But England versus France would be pretty funny. That'd be an interesting World Cup final. Sort of. Kind of. Maybe. Would you tune in? You people fired up for the World Cup? I'm not getting like huge World Cup fever around here. I think there's a moderate interest in who's winning. But as far as ducking out of work like the first day of the NCAA tournament, I don't know if that's happening. I don't know if that's happening, but we'll talk a little bit more with the Sportsline's resident soccer expert, Matt, don't call me Tom Lehman. Aaron McFarling's going to join us as he does each and every Tuesday, courtesy of Jersey Lily's Roadhouse. Got a lot to talk about with Aaron. Dave Walls of WSET will join us live from Lynchburg City Stadium. Steven Strasburg taking the hill tonight against the Lynchburg Hillcats in a rehab start, trying to come back and get ready for the stretch run with the Washington Nationals. And then to wrap up the show, Diane Williams of the Commonwealth Games. Talk a little bit more about the support that the city of Lynchburg is providing for the Commonwealth Games, and maybe even look ahead to the state games next year, the State Games of America, which will be held here in Virginia. So a whole lot to do here today on the sports line. We look forward to having you join us, or me and Matt, or me, Matt, Aaron, and Dave, and Diane. Like I said, a lot to do. It's going to be a fun show, and we appreciate you hanging out with us. Thank you to our sponsors, as always. Couldn't be here, wouldn't be here without them. You know them. Randolph College, the LEAP program, and the Master of Arts in Teaching. Gano Sausage, country boy on the label, quality on the table. Arthur's Jewelry, Centertown, Bedford. Jim Messier, your source for diamonds, as he's getting ready to take a trip to Antwerp. You'll hear more about that coming up. And the Roanoke Valley Harley-Davidson on Peters Creek Road. And we can't forget about ESPN radio deals as well. So thanks to all of our sponsors. And coming up here in just a second, the great Aaron McFarling of the Roanoke Times, presented as always by Jersey Lily's Roadhouse. Before we welcome him to the show, and you shall receive.
That is a banger, baby.
You got
a banger.
Hey, Aaron, what's going on, man?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Kind of recovering from the weekend. Had a fun time at the Greenbrier. And then we had a little announcement on Monday about the indoor football team coming to Roanoke. So it's been pretty busy the last few days. I'm trying to decompress a little bit today. But, this is a good time to take vacation, and I think everyone at the Roanoke Times has done so, except for me. So I'm kind of the man in charge when things break or go askew. So I'll have to remember this next year and just go off, set sail with the rest of it.
Right. You figure out when everybody else is going and make sure you're gone then as well. Well, Aaron McFarling of the Roanoke Times joining us here in the sports line. Do you hear the feedback, Matt? Okay, that means the phone's too high. There you go. Got a little feedback in the phone with you, Aaron.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I can hear you okay.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we're going to try calling you back and see if we can get rid of this feedback.
All right. I'll be here.
All right. Thank you, man. Yeah, a lot going on and a lot to talk with Aaron McFarling about. Trying to take care of some technical difficulties, and I was just going to tell Aaron a second ago that I feel his pain. Melinda gone last week, Ashley gone last week, Mary and Brian off for a bunch of last week. It's been me and Matt holding down the fort. Ed's been MIA. Scheduled emergencies, then unscheduled emergencies. I feel his pain. Yeah, when everybody's gone, the best thing you can do is get out of Dodge as well. Aaron McFarling, of course, as always, presented by Jersey Lily's Roadhouse. It's a struggle, isn't it, Matt? We're trying to do everything around here. Let's try it again. Hi, Aaron.
Hey.
I think that's better. I feel your pain about about being the only person around. Matt and I have been kind of doing the same thing where it's just the two of us. Ed's gone, a bunch of people are gone, and those are the weeks that everything happens, right?
Yeah, and even if they don't, there's a lot of things that go on at a newspaper that you don't even know go on until you have to do them, all right, hey, look, our editor's gone too. He went to Colorado. That's his home state, and he deserves a vacation. He works his butt off, and so does everybody else who's taking vacation right now, but it does leave you in a precarious spot, so... Hopefully we'll just get through this week unscathed and there won't be any more big news dropping or anything like that, and we can just go about our daily business. But as it is, I'm kind of on call for whatever comes.
You mentioned a couple of things that have been going on, and I want to get to all those. Obviously, Mook getting the boot from Virginia Tech, a new indoor football team coming to Roanoke. Steven Strasburg going to be pitching a little later today here in Lynchburg. Some other things that are bigger nationally, the PGA Championship moving to May. I know golf's near and dear to your heart. World Cup soccer, we've got France advancing to the World Cup. But you told me before the show that despite your promises not to attend the casino at the Greenbrier, you wound up finding yourself there.
That's right. It is a true fact. Here's the story. Okay, so Friday, we talked on Thursday night, and I told you I wasn't going to go. I said, it's really, to be honest, it's not a place for a guy like me. It's not a devoted casino. It's not open 24/7, whatever. So I go over there on Friday. I just wanted to check out the scene. I wanted to check out the scene around Friday at about 2 p.m. because I wasn't really in shape to play for long, maybe an hour, but I had to get back to cover the rest of the day. And I went in there, and the craps table was closed. So, and I asked the host there what time it would open, and he said 5 o'clock. So I fired off a text to Ed, and I just said, this underscores what I've been telling you all along. who doesn't open a craps table till 5 o'clock? I'm never setting foot in this place again. This is ridiculous. And then, you know, the coverage is over. I write my story. I go have dinner. You know, I have a couple of ales. Then about 8 o'clock, I decide, let's go to the casino.
So your boycott lasted how long? I totally lied last week,
and I didn't intend to, but I did. So I know you have to have a jacket. Here's the problem. I don't have a jacket. I didn't bring one with me on this trip because I wasn't going to go, right? So I just say, well, I'm just going to show up and see what happens. So I show up wearing a nice, you know, nice polo shirt and some khakis, you know, and then and I stopped by the host. He says, sir, welcome to the casino. He says, I'm afraid gentlemen are required to wear jackets after 7 o'clock in this casino. And I said, well, I'm aware of that, sir. And I said, you know where a gentleman might procure such a garment? I actually used those very words. I said it just like that because I knew he'd be pretentious, and I was just as pretentious back. And so guess what he does? Anybody who's been to the Greenbrier probably knows what he did. He reached behind him and pulled out this jacket and gave it to me to wear as a loaner. And this jacket, it was brown, and it was ugly, and it was basically if you pee your pants at school and they have to give you backup pants, this was the backup jacket, okay? But I was in. He said, enjoy your evening, sir, and I said, I will. So I'm in there, and of course, the pit boss and the dealers, they all know what the backup jacket looks like, right? They're just like, oh, this guy, you know? But... So, long story short, I bought in for $1,000, which is a lot of money, and more than I usually buy in for. But as I told you last week, I had a really good stay at the poker tables in Atlantic City, so I was kind of flush. And 2 hours into my session at the craps table, I was down to my last 100. But at 4 a.m., they closed the casino down, which who closes casinos down? You don't close them down. But they closed it down. And I cashed out for $1,600. So I won $600. Yes. Oh, quite a rally.
Wow.
Here's two things I know about this casino. Okay, I've been in here before, but I hadn't really paid attention to everything. One is they have a complimentary champagne toast at 10 o'clock. Okay, who wants champagne toast at 10 o'clock at a casino? I'm trying to roll dice, but okay, I guess some people like that. The second thing. There's a dance floor behind you where they're playing that Everybody Clap Your Hands song and all those other songs that they play at weddings. So it felt like a wedding reception in a lot of ways. Three. All right, here's three. The people there are so rich that they don't care if they win or lose. And I cannot put myself into that category. So, you know, they roll a seven and they lose, you know, anybody's familiar with craps, you lose your money if they roll a seven when it's not the come out roll. And it's like, oh, well, whatever. It's just money. And you're like, no, we need to do better. Let's do better than that. So I'm happy to report that we did do better. And I made some good friends in high finance by the end of the night. But it is certainly a different experience than the places I'm used to.
Oh, boy. First of all, Aaron, it's not a lie if you didn't intend to deceive. Right.
Well, I mean, if that's true, I'm happy because I spoke in all honesty last. I try to be honest on your show. That's what I try to do.
Thank you. Sometimes,
you know, I know some of the factoids and things are a little skeevy or whatever, but that's the truth. And why not be truthful with you? And that's what happened. If I had gone in there and that last $100 had gone away, I'd tell the same story. I'd say, well, I went in there and I lost $1,000. It'd probably even be a better story. You know, a guy in a backup jacket goes in there and drops a grand. I mean, that's, you know, basically takes money he won from Atlantic City and deposits it into Jim Justice's breast pocket. What a bonehead move that would have been. Well, that's not how it worked out. But if it had, I'd have told you.
No, I like the fact that the guy in the backup jacket actually walks away with some of the Greenbrier's money. I like that version.
Oh, heck yeah. And I went in on Saturday. I said, I'm going to take my money and run. I'm not going to go back. And I meant it this time. But I went to just see if I got any comp dollars or anything for playing.
Right.
And I got like $79 worth of comp. So I bought this really nice polo shirt that says the Greenbrier Classic on it, which I guess is an acronym now because that's not what they call the tournament. But it's a really nice polo shirt.
Collector's item.
$70.
Yeah, collector's item.
Yeah. My brother asked me. I texted him, told him what happened. My brother says, "Well, are you? Did you keep the backup jacket to wear at future casinos?" I said, "No, but this polo shirt should probably serve as a good proxy, I would think, for luck."
It's a great story. It's a great story. The boycott just didn't last as long as you expected.
You know, and I gotta say, the dealers there are great. They are great. They're really good. Most of them have worked all over the country, you know, Vegas, Atlantic City. I got to know them over the course of 6 hours or whatever I was there. It's not the dealers. It's the pretension of everything else that sort of is foreign to me. You know, the dealers are just like any other dealers that you find at your God-fearing casinos throughout the nation.
I got to tell you, I think your math's a little off, because if you left at 4 a.m. when they closed, and again, understanding that casinos shouldn't close, but if they closed at 4 a.m. and you were there at, what, 7 p.m.?
No, it was more like 8:30 or 9. Okay. So, right. Yeah, it was maybe, okay, so maybe it was like 7 hours.
Okay.
So maybe I got like $10 an hour for playing. But yeah, it was probably more than six. You're right.
All right. Well, that sounds like a heck of a story.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. There, I didn't see any golfers. I didn't see any caddies. It was all people who make a lot of money, and some of them were there for other reasons other than the golf tournament. They were there for like conferences and stuff, and they just make so much money that none of it matters to them. And I kind of got to be honest. I don't want to get to a place like that. I don't want to get in a place where Michael Jordan was, where unless he's dropping $1 million at a casino, he feels like it didn't hurt. You know, like I want to feel it. If I lose $300 or $400, yeah, I want that to feel really painful.
Yes,
and not have it happen again. Maybe I'm rationalizing the fact that I'm broke. But I don't think so. I think that's a good way to live. Is, you know, where a little bit of money means a lot.
And let me throw this in, because I think I'm kind of on the same page with you, and you know, other people who live a little different lifestyle than you and I do, you know, maybe like Ed Lane, you know, who frequent these types of you know, places on vacations regularly. But if I'm on vacation, I don't want to have to bring a jacket along with me. In terms of a sport coat or a real jacket, right? I mean, if I'm on vacation, I want to be comfortable. I don't even want to tuck my shirt in, let alone wear a sport coat.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rich. That's a really good point. Now, you know, being there on business, you know, like I probably should have a jacket in my repertoire there just because, you know, I am representing the Roanoke Times and everything else, but we don't, you know, we're sports writers. We don't wear jackets when we go to the office. So why would we wear them when we go, you know, if we were at a resort? You know, like that will seem like you even go one step down.
Right.
You know? But yeah, you're right. I can't remember wearing a jacket on a vacation. Maybe when we had I think we took a cruise for our honeymoon almost 20 years ago now, my wife and I. And I think there was, there was some recommendations that you bring some nice stuff to wear for the captain's dinner or whatever. So I think I might have done that, but I didn't like doing it. I didn't appreciate it. I would have taken a loaner if the captain had one.
That's the call. You walk up to the captain and you're like, "I need that brown loader jacket. I didn't bring
no,
one."
No, you don't say. But you don't say like that. If you say, "Do you know where a gentleman might procure one at this hour?" That's exactly my phrase, and I'm proud of it. I think it was a good phrase. I think it showed that I can hang with you. I understand the language, and we'll play a little chess here.
Just dripping with sarcasm as well.
It was. Nobody says procure in daily life. Nobody uses the word procure.
Aaron McFarland.
By the way, I went to shop the next day because I was literally asking where I could procure one, because you know, I thought I might have to buy one there in the resort. And I thought, well, I'm flush with cash from AC, so let's look around. You know, maybe I could use a nice blue blazer. Well, like $1,200 a shop there. I was like, well, I wouldn't have bought one. I would have been heading back home with my tail between my legs if he had not had the loader.
You pull that trick where you leave the tag on, right? So you can bring it back the next day.
Yeah, the King of Queens trick. Yeah, I've seen that episode. Yeah, that could work. Chanel suits and everything else.
Aaron McFarlane of the Road Oak Times, great columnist, joining us here on the sports line, courtesy of Jersey at Lily's Roadhouse. What about Mook, man? I mean, what's going on? When are things going to slow down over there in Blacksburg?
Well, that's a great question. I think you or I might be able to suit up for that defense right now, just given all the attrition that's happened. But, we're only a week away now, less than a week away from the ACC football kickoff. So there can't be more, I would imagine, knock on wood for Hokie fans, but there can't be much more than what we've already seen that goes down before they gather in Charlotte next week. It's been an absolute disaster on that side of the ball particularly. And there, Bud Foster is a genius and he's, paid like one and he's recognized like one and he's going to have to coach like one this year because there's going to be a lot of new faces in that defense. They're going to have to score a ton of points. That over-under in Vegas is 8.5 on those Hokies. And, I think anybody who's been around here just digesting all this news that's come out over the offseason has to feel like that feels like an under right now. It feels like an under. It feels like under 8.5. But, you never know. I mean, Jackson's clear. That was we've talked about that in the past, about that whole ordeal that he went through. But, him being back is a big deal. The offense should be pretty good, but they're going to have to win some shootouts because there's going to be a lot of players that you've never seen play, certainly never seen start on that defense trying to make plays. And, they recruit pretty well on that side of the ball for sure, and they certainly coach very well on that side of the ball. So I'm not going to sit here and say it's just going to be a total disaster, but I do think and I said it before, I said it after the Alexander news, when he was declared academically ineligible, I think this is the worst defense we're going to see in at least a decade, and maybe more now because Reynolds is one of those few guys that you kind of knew something about who was coming back. So, it was a good defense last year. I don't know that it'll be very good this year.
Couple more real quick for you. I don't want to waste your whole afternoon talking to a joker like me. The Iron Horses, indoor football coming back to Roanoke, announcement yesterday. You excited?
Yeah, Rich, are you a South Park viewer?
way back in the day, the early days of South Park.
Are you familiar with the Phase 1 collect underpants thing that the gnomes did? Well,
Matt is not laughing his head off over here.
I don't think we have time to go through it all, but my 12-year-old son happened to be at the press conference with me. He was off to the side reading a book while they were doing the press conference because I didn't want to leave him at home. But we got in the car after this, and he says to me, "That seems sort of like a Phase 1 collect underpants thing." And I've never been more proud of my son. Anybody who's familiar with that meme or that whole idea of, but the thing is, these gnomes collect underpants. And then, Stan asks them why they're doing it. And they say, well, here's our business plan. Phase 1, collect underpants. Phase 2, and it's just a question mark. And then Phase 3, profit. Okay? There seems to be a big Phase 2 with this whole Iron Horses thing. I couldn't write it because I was just covering it straight because I was the only guy here and that, somebody has to write about what this is. And I don't, honestly, I feel a little bad about saying this because I want to welcome them to town. I don't want to say, hey, you're going to fail. But I just feel like there is a giant question mark in that second phase where, where's the money coming from? Maybe they'll announce some broadcast partners and then you get a money influx there. There's ESPN Plus and, all these other CBS Sports Network, all these places looking for content. Maybe they can sell this league to broadcast and that would, send some money to it. But as it stands now, I'm very skeptical because 12 teams, they're all owned by the league. What happens is somebody, in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, or Roanoke, Virginia, has terrible financial troubles and, doesn't draw at all. And how does that affect the other 11 teams? I don't know how it's going to work. I think, you know, the arena football business, as we see with or, you know, the actual arena football league, only down to four teams now. It's a volatile business. I mean, it's really hard to make money in minor league football. They're very optimistic, as most teams are when they show up and you know, start play. But the contrast between what they've done and what the hockey team had done prior to coming to Roanoke, mm-hmm. is sort of a plan, is night and day, man. I mean, it's night and day. I mean, I walked away from that hockey press conference in 2016 saying, they got a real shot here. I walked away from that press conference yesterday saying, well, I'm not even sure they're going to play in 2019. That's when they're supposed to start. I'm not even sure that's going to happen. Wow. I've seen enough of these startup leagues struggle to put everything together because there's a lot to do. And they want to pay these players $20,000 a season. Well, you know, the Roanoke Railyard Dogs hockey players make like $350 a week. They make peanuts, but they play because they just love the game. Do you have enough football players who've been cut by NFL teams who love the game that much that they're going to play? And how are you going to pay them $20,000? I don't know. I mean, I asked a lot of questions at the press conference and the one-on-one interviews afterwards, but I still left with a lot of questions. Yeah. And I guess they have some time to answer some of those between now and March when they're supposed to play.
Yeah, well, all right, we'll see how that plays out. Last thing, 30 seconds, Steven Strasburg tonight in Lynchburg.
Yeah, you told me about that. I didn't know. That's cool, man. Yeah, I read the story of the Lynchburg paper had on this, and I guess it's the first time in 8 years they've had a major league rehab start. And, you know, certainly you don't get much bigger name than Strasburg. So that'll be fun for those guys. I remember when Daisuke Matsuzaka did some rehab starting at Salem. And there was, you know, that was a little different deal because you had a bunch of Japanese reporters there too, as well as just regular Joes who were covering the game. But it felt like a real big event in a minor league town. And that's what they'll get down there in the Hill City. So hopefully it'll be a good entertainment product for them, and hopefully for the Nationals' sake, he gets on track. Yeah. And after the All-Star break, you know, gets back in that rotation and starts pitching well, because that rotation has been a disaster.
Aaron, thank you, man. Pleasure as always. Keep up the great work. Hold down the fort.
You got it, brother. Good talking to you. Pleasure. Hang in there as a solo man.
Yeah, pleasure was mine. Thank you, dude. Aaron McFarley, Roanoke Times, courtesy of Jersey Lily's Roadhouse. Two locations, 460 just east of Roanoke. And of course, they've got one over in Salem as well. Thanks to Aaron. Dave Walls, WSET, up next. Going to talk a little bit about a little more Strasburg. Stay tuned.